Consider three groups this morning as it relates to the subject of answering God's call to care for aging parents. The first group I'd like to consider would be those of you who have faithfully served your parents in the past. There are some that are here this morning that served their parents, took care of their parents in the past, to the point where they passed away and you faithfully served. I'd like to commend you for that. The second group would be those of you who currently are caring for your parents. Especially, I thought of in preparation for this message would be Dwayne and Gloria, and Gloria's parents coming to live with them. I thought especially of Roger and Linda, and thinking of Linda's mother coming and living with them, thought of Weldon and Mary Ethel and the time that they have spent relating back and forth to Uncle Amos, thought of Everett and Martha relating to Everett's dad, and there may be some more here this morning. Those that are currently taking care of your parents today, I want to bring some encouragement to you along the way. In the third group, as the Lord tarries, it would be those of you who will be called to serve your parents in the future. Now, I would say that there are probably people in the congregation here today who have parents of that age that need cared for, and yet it's physically impossible, it's almost impossibility for you to fulfill that role. Maybe it's because of geographical inconvenience or various things that you cannot fill that role. So I don't want you all to think that if you have parents of that age and you can't fulfill that responsibility, that I'm trying to give you a hard time. That is not the issue. Today's message would underscore three truths: the quick passage of time, secondly, the quick transition of responsibilities, and the third one would be the relevance of Scripture for all generations. Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you today. We thank you so much that your word speaks to every issue of life, and we can find encouragement, we can find challenge, we can find instruction in your word for the life that we live, for the duties and responsibilities that we have, especially as we care for parents. Lord, we pray that you will give us your instruction this morning. Help us to put to practice what we hear. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. For a text this morning, I would invite you to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4. The Bible tells us, "But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God." If you look in the Strong's, the Greek definition for this word requite means to pay back. It's to pay back your parents for what they have done for you. The NIV reads this way: "But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying," there's the word, "repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God." And I don't know about you and your situation. There may be somebody here this morning that is under the duress, the struggle of taking care of your parents. Maybe you feel like you're getting rope burn on your hands. You feel like there's tremendous pressure. Well, here is a knot in the rope that would give you some encouragement. The last part of that verse said, "For this is pleasing to God." Doesn't that help us to be encouraged? Maybe we're facing the struggle, but we recognize that God's word said, "This is pleasing." And so hold on to that. You and I know that when a baby is born, a baby is completely dependent upon its parents for everything. It's dependent for food. It's dependent for love, for acceptance, for caring, for personal needs, religious training, schooling, godly counsel. A baby is dependent upon all that. I think I forgot to tell you the title of the message this morning. The title of the message is When the Tables Have Turned. When the tables have turned, we have an opportunity to show our appreciation for all that our parents have done for us. And I would submit to you that the quality of our care depends on our attitude. A couple months ago, Brother Dave preached a message titled, Have to or Get to. So as you think about caring for your parents, is it an obligation or is it a privilege? And that can make all the difference in the world. Is your work an obligation or is it a privilege? First point of the message would be Jesus' teaching on caring for parents. And I guess I never thought about these two passages in connection with caring for parents until I studied for this message, but I would like to invite you this morning to Matthew chapter 15. I'd like to read this out of the New King James and read verses 1 to 9. Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 to 9. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. He answered and said to them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, Whosoever says to his father or mother, Whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. In this passage, Jesus exposes the hypocrisy of the religious leaders. Secondly, the religious leaders were guilty of placing their own handwritten standards above God's law, or especially the Ten Commandments. Now, I'd like to read the parallel passage from Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 7. Moving quickly, Mark chapter 7, verses 6 to 13. I'd like to read this from the New King James as well. Mark chapter 7, starting in verse 5. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do. He said to them, All too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, Honor your father and your mother. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, Whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban, that is a gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which you have handed down, and many such things you do. The religious leaders, they were not concerned about hygiene or washing of hands in the cups and the saucers and the pitchers, but the religious leaders, they were concerned about spiritual hierarchy. They were prejudiced. The religious leaders, they disassociated themselves from many people. They elevated themselves higher than others. They thought they were better, and they were self-righteous. And the religious leaders reinterpreted the law. We know the law given there in Exodus chapter 20. We know there was 10 commandments that God gave Moses and the children of Israel. But these religious leaders had reinterpreted the law, and they added 600 laws of their own. And what a burden that was. Notice in verse 11 here is the word Corban. And I found this. A Corban was a gift or an offering dedicated to the temple. Anyone who made a Corban vow was required to dedicate money to God's temple that otherwise would have gone to support his parents. Corban had become a religiously acceptable way to neglect parents. And what did Corban do? It did at least two things. Corban brought prestige to the giver. And secondly, it seems that Corban benefited the religious leaders. Now, maybe I'm reading into it too much, but the Bible says that the religious leaders, their hearts were covetous. And, you know, I don't know all the reason why this provision of Corban was given, but it seems to me that when the religious leaders made this provision that people wouldn't have to take care of their parents and they could dedicate this money to the temple, well, then these the religious leaders could benefit from a lot of the money that was given to the temple. And I asked this question, why did Jesus hate this provision so much? And I believe because this was replacement theology. In essence, the religious leaders were forcing God and his word from the rightful throne, and they were worshiping their own spiritual intellect. And that's serious. But sad to say, there's a lot of religious leaders and a lot of people in our world today that do just that. They want to reinterpret what God's word says, and they pretty well do away. They neglect the word and do away with, they dilute what is there. And that is serious. That happens pretty often. Twice in this passage in Mark chapter 7, verses 8 and 13, Jesus, he condemned the religious leaders for the corruption that was in their hearts. And Jesus said, not only in this matter of Corban, but many other things like this you do. And I'd like to read from Matthew. Jesus had a scathing rebuke to these religious leaders. Matthew chapter 23, I'm not going to read much of it. Matthew chapter 23, verses 4 to 5a, Jesus said this, "For they, or the religious leaders, bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do, for what purpose? For to be seen of men." That's why they were doing these things. They wanted to be thought well of others. And so this is some of the teaching that Jesus had in caring for parents. And I'd like to move into the second point of the message, Jesus' example of caring for his mother. We know that Jesus had a great love and a great respect for both of his parents. You remember when Jesus was 12 years old and they were going to Jerusalem, and how that Jesus became separated. If I understand right, the trail from Nazareth to Jerusalem, it was maybe somewhat serpentine, and it was about 90 miles. Now, they didn't get in their Honda CRV. They didn't get in on a four-wheeler, but they probably rode a donkey or they walked. Imagine walking 90 miles, and it would be pretty easy for people to get separated, and that's what happened to Jesus. He became separated from his parents during that time. Luke chapter 2, verses 49 to 51a. And he said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not, or didn't ye know that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things, these sayings in her heart." So, children, maybe you wonder what to get for your parents. Maybe now you probably won't get them gold or frankincense or myrrh, but there are things that you can give to your parents. What about love and respect and obedience? I believe that that's what parents treasure. A child that loves their parents, respects them, and is obedient to them, what a great gift. So if you're wondering what to give your parents, right here it is. Turn with me to John chapter 19. Jesus, he retained his love and respect and concern for his parents until the very end. John chapter 19, verses 25 to 27. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and his disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to his disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple, or John, took her unto his own home. Jesus was on the cross, and death was imminent. What was his concern? Was he concerned about what he was facing, the struggles that was coming his way? And we know it was not. Brother Elam says that love, or Jesus, when he thought of people, or loving, it's others. O-T-H-E-R-S. Jesus spelled love, O-T-H-E-R-S. That's not verbatim, Brother Elam, but we know what Brother Elam said. And that's right. Jesus, he desired to serve others with love, and that's what Jesus did for his mother here. Jesus could not take care of his mother, and he passed that responsibility on to John. Now, I have a serious question here I'd like to ask you as a congregation. Why did Jesus pass that responsibility on to the disciple John? Where was Jesus' brothers? Matthew chapter 13, verse 55. I'd like to read. Matthew chapter 13, verse 55. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother's mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph, Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Just a question that came to me during this study, and if you want to talk to me after the service, I'd like to know, why was it that Jesus didn't hand this responsibility down to his brothers here in verse 55? Why did he hand it to John? I have some thoughts about why I think Jesus gave this responsibility to John rather than his brothers, but I'd be glad for your input. Third point of the message, God's word is a practical guide in caring for parents. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. You know these verses well. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. We know that obedience, we think of that often as to a child is 18 years old, that how long is it that you should honor your parents? What does it mean to honor? Does that just mean to respect them, or is it more than that? The Greek definition for the word honor means to prize, to fix a valuation upon, to revere, or to value. So is that how you honor your parents? Do you prize your parents? Do you place a valuation upon? Do you revere them? How is it possible to place a tangible value on your parents' investment in your life? How is it possible to place a tangible value on your parents' investment in your life, both in the physical and the spiritual? How can you requite, or how can you pay your parents back for their investment in your life? We know that God's word penetrates far below the surface, far beyond what is visible. So is doing the right thing all that's required? Or I would just like to ask you, what is the motivation that fuels a right action. I don't really have the time this morning to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But in there, you know, the first couple of verses says about the things that could be done if they're done without love. They are sounding brass. They're of no benefit to anybody if there's not love. More than doing the right thing, what we do for our parents or others needs to be motivated out of love. That's the fuel. That's the motivation that's important. It needs to be out of love. And so when we care for our parents, it certainly should be out of a heart of love. I'd like to go to that passage but lack of time, I think we're going to move on. The last point of the message is practical considerations in caring for aging parents. The demands of your workload are ever increasing. Don't be too proud to involve others and delegate to distribute the workload. I've seen people, I've heard accounts and stories of those that love their parents. They were involved in this, and the duties, the responsibilities became heavier and stronger, and they practically burn out. They loved what they was doing, but it was more than they could handle themselves. So I'm just telling you, don't be too proud to involve others in distributing the workload. I'm not going to turn to this passage right now, but I was reminded of Jethro. When Jethro came and observed Moses working there with the children of Israel, he saw Moses get up early in the morning, and he saw him judge Israel all day long. And somebody tell me what Jethro's response was to Moses. That's right. Jethro said, "What you're doing is not good." And you're right. He said, "You're going to only wear yourself out." And he said, "The workload is too heavy. You cannot handle it alone." And you're right, Justin. He said, "You need some help." And I thought also of Jesus in Matthew 14, verse 19. At the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus is the one that had the power. He was the one that took the loaves and the fishes. He's the one that prayed to God, and God gave the increase, multiplied what was there. But after he had got done praying, he took the fish and he took the bread and he handed it to his disciples. And the disciples handed it to the people, to the crowd. And so Jesus used others to help him to accomplish his task. And I would just like to say that for Sally and I, in the caring for my mother, we have some help that comes and helps us. Eunice Show Alter comes twice a week. And Kristen, I don't know if she's here this morning. It's hard to scan a whole audience in 2 seconds. But Kristen has helped us often in the caring for my mother. And also Norma Yoder has helped us pretty often, especially when Sally and I both got COVID. Norma Yoder came in for a week pretty well, relieved of us of our duties when we couldn't go take care of my mother. And so we really appreciated that. We needed some help in the caring for my mother. And about a week ago, Sally's dad, Howard Hartman, kind of took a turn for the worse. I think he's doing fairly well, but not what he had been, and so we don't know what all's going to be required of us in relating to him, but there may be some increased workload in relating to Sally's dad. So we need your prayers. So the first point is don't be too proud to involve others in delegating and distributing the workload. Second point is to expect interruptions. A couple weeks ago, we were getting ready for chickens. Josh and Darren, my two grandsons, were helping me get ready for chickens. And I got a call from Sally. She was up taking care of my mother. And she said, well, Mother don't have any water. And so really it wasn't much to do but to go up and check it out and see what was going on. I had to call in some assistance from Histon Services. Jonathan, your dad, came and helped get my mother going again. At least one good thing. It wasn't something so serious this time. But But expect the interruptions. They are going to happen. When you're taking care, I mean, you have the things that you want to accomplish in life, things you need to do, and then you're taking care of your parents, expect interruptions because it'll happen. We could turn to Mark chapter 5. I love this story. I'm not going to turn to it this morning. Jesus there where Jairus came to Jesus and wanted Jesus to come and heal his daughter. Jesus was on the way to go to heal Jairus' daughter. And then there was the woman with the issue of blood. And it was an interruption. But Jesus ministered to the woman with the loss of blood. And then also, then he went and healed Jairus' daughter. And I should tell you this morning, tell you also that Friday, I thought maybe it'd be a good day for some sermon preparation. I had most of the sermon ready anyway, but I wanted to spend some time Friday in sermon preparation. And then I went up to take care of my mother, feed her dinner. Sally was going to her parents during that time, and I found my mother sitting on the edge of the bed, and she had blood all over her dress, all over her slip, all over the blankets, down on the floor. She had a serious nosebleed, and I had opportunity to pray to the Lord, and I thought especially of this woman with the issue of blood. Well, I tell you what, my mother was losing blood too, and tried to take cotton plugs and plug her nose, and I was concerned, talked to Sally about it, and we were wondering if we was going to have to take my mother to the ER and get her nose packed. But finally, after an hour and a half or 2 hours or whatever it was, finally it slowed down, and I'd like to thank the Lord that we got it stopped. But my mother had a serious nosebleed the other day. So there's interruptions that come. Jesus, when he was taking his disciples, they had ministered to people, and then Jesus said, "Come ye apart and rest a while." And he said, "Let's go across the lake." And you know what happened. They went across the lake, and the people found out where they was going. They outran them and got out there to the destination. And when Jesus and the disciples were going to this place to rest a while, there was people. And Jesus had compassion on them. There was interruption. Jesus loved, and he served despite the interruption. Third point, expect some criticism. As you're taking care of your parents, criticism probably will come. There may be some extended family members who may observe from a distance. Maybe they won't have all the facts. I'd like to give you some good counsel. Three things. Do the best you can. Live one day at a time. And don't worry what other people say or think. We have an audience of one, and I thought of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, Paul said this, But with me it's a very small thing that I be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time." I don't think that means that Paul cared nothing for the opinions of others. But his main concern was he wanted to be approved of God. And that should be our concern. Yes, it hurts sometimes when criticism comes when we're doing the best we know how. But expect some criticism and do the best you can. Live one day at a time. Don't be so concerned what other people say or think. And do your best to be approved of God. Fourth point, interject some humor along the way. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. This is God's prescription. Sometimes our parents and sometimes us, we need to take some prescriptions, some medicine along the way. Well, here's some medicine prescribed by God. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. "A merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." Interject some humor along the way. A couple weeks ago, we were getting ready for chickens, And I told my mother, I said, Josh or Darren are here helping me get ready for chickens. I said, you want to come help us get ready? She said, no, they stink. And most of you know also that several weeks ago, Sally flew out to Wisconsin to spend some time with Wayne and Sharon. And I went to my mother and I said, Mother, you know what? I said, Sally got on a big old airplane and she went out to Wisconsin for a week and she left you and me here all by ourselves. I said, I have a notion to call up Sally and give her a piece of my mind. And I said, do you think I should do that? My mother said, no. So my mother's 95, but she's still giving me good advice. But I would suggest, if not for the person you're caring for your own sanity, interject some humor along the way. It'll serve you well. The Bible says, a merry heart doth good like a medicine. Fifth, cultivate your character carefully. I'd like to ask you a question. Currently, right now, are you grouchy? Are you hard to please? Are you unappreciative of others' investment in your life? And I would submit to you that the character that you are cultivating today will likely be the same character that your children encounter when they care for you. The character that you are cultivating today will likely be the same character that your children encounter when they care for you. Bear with me. I would like to add God's word to this one. Cultivating your character carefully, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. And beside all this, giving diligence. Think about this. Does this describe you as you care for your parents or for others? Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And what is the result of these? Verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And some of the words really stood out to me. Number one was patience. How patient are we when we are involved in taking care of our parents? Do we have brotherly kindness? Do we have love? Do we have charity? And if we have these things, they can help us that we're not barren nor unfruitful. The last point in this, thinking about these practical things that we can do, is take advantage of your opportunities. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in thy power, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Take advantage of your opportunities. Sally and I often go to my mother's together. There's times that I cover for her. Sometimes she covers for me. She covered for me mostly this morning because usually on Sunday morning I may have something else to do. But anyway, I'd just like to tell you to take advantage of the opportunities while you have them. Often we work together on putting my mother to bed at night. And then it's often my responsibility to pull the covers up over my mother and tuck her in. And it's fairly often I'll reach over and give her a little kiss on the cheek, and I tell you, I love you. And my mother doesn't say a whole lot, but it's not uncommon to hear my mother say, thank you, I love you too. So take advantage of your opportunities while you have them. If you are involved now in taking care of your parents, I hope this can just be some encouragement to you. It's a good work. But our parents won't always be with us. Let's take advantage of the opportunity that we have. In conclusion, a few short years ago, your parents were providing for your every need. When the tables have turned, it will be your opportunity to requite, to repay and to express your gratitude to God and your parents for their blessings on your life. May the Lord bless you as you fulfill your roles and responsibilities, especially those that are working at it hard today. The Lord bless you. And shall we have a song?